Hi, everybody, and welcome to the pilot episode of Girl Fight. Woo!
So I wasn't a part of that move.
So, Girl Fight is a new IGN podcast, and as you may have guessed from the title, it is all of us girls. I am Nicole Tanner, and I am associate editor here at IGN, and I am joined by all of my lovely female colleagues who are going to introduce themselves right now, and we'll start to my right.
Hi there, I'm Christine Steimer. I'm the associate managing editor of IGN.com. And I work with all the lovely boys.
I was going to say.
Actually, we all do.
I mean, we all do. But I get to tell them what to do.
You're the mom.
Anne? Hey, I'm Megan Sullivan. I'm IGN's database editor. So whenever a new game comes out, I put in all the data.
And I'm Jessica Choba, and I host all of our on-camera events and Daily Fix and IGN Strategize.
And I am Dana Jungward, and I am the executive editor of the Expanded Audience, which is either people beyond 18 to 34-year-old guys or fat people, depending on who
you're. Yes, and I work with Dana on Expanded Audience as well. So just so you guys can get to know us a little bit better, we're going to talk a little bit about what kind of games we like, what kind of food we like, what kind of gifts you can send us. So I guess I'll start. I'm pretty open. I play pretty much everything except for hyper-realistic military first-person shooters. So no Call of Duty for me. But other than that...
It's not that realistic.
Well, it's more realistic than Bioshock.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
So yeah, I play almost everything. I play on all consoles. I don't really have a favorite console. And right now I'm playing a game that is really pissing me off. It's called Again for the DS. It's made by the
people.
You know
what's funny is that Arthur just was saying that too.
Yeah, it's made by the same people who made Hotel Dusk, and I thought Hotel Dusk was awesome. I loved that game, but this one is just, it's tedious. The story's not interesting. The gameplay mechanic feels completely contrived. And yeah, it sucks.
So, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So, Christine, what are you playing?
I'm playing lots of Pokemon.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, we've been doing this feature where I'm trying to catch all of the Pokemon in the Pokedex, which is like
how many
350, I think.
How many do you have?
I have almost 100.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Where did you start?
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So, I'm sure I'll hit a wall at some point and I'll never catch anything.
So, actually, since you're talking about this, and I actually always meant to ask you this earlier, but I kept forgetting, what is the tie-in between your Pokewalker, the walker?
Oh, right.
With what the games are.
So, for Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it comes with this pedometer / Tamagotchi, basically, the Pokewalker. And so, you can beam it back and forth. It works with your game, whether you have Heart Gold or Soul Silver. And basically, you take anybody from your PC box. Once you have a certain, I think, once you have two Pokemon, you're allowed to go ahead and beam it over. And then when you walk around, you can level up your Pokemon in here.
Oh.
And you can also catch Pokemon, and depending on different, you know, they've got a whole bunch of different
And it's all areas. Based on how much you're walking, then.
Yes. So it's encouraging kids to go out and walk and get some exercise and stuff.
Even with the trading and stuff, like you can only trade if you hit a certain level or what?
For the gamer with this, you can't trade with the Pokewalker. But you can, like, if you had one and I had one, you can beam them together and they'll go in and play with each other and then you'll get more items.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was trading because I saw you and Jack.
No, we do it every morning because I make him. But, but, you know, I just like getting, you get better items if you trade with people.
It.
Or not trade, but if you beam together. With your cosmic force.
We're
I don't know.
Beam.
It's a pokey playdate.
It sounds weird. I don't know what else to call it, but that's kind of what you're
it's
doing.
Pokey playdate.
Infrared beaming back and forth. Pokemon playdate.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's cool. It's nice because you don't have to sit there. I can't play the game at my desk all day, obviously, but I can walk around the office and still level
oh,
up.
Oh, you could.
I could, but then I would not get anything else done, and then I would get fired. And I'm not looking to have that happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how this little sucker works. I like it a lot.
Cool.
I think I'm the only one besides Jack in the office that's still using it. We used to have
there were a lot of people. I was going
to
say.
And I ran around to every single one of them in the morning and made them beam back and forth to me. And then everybody
my
stopped.
My Pokewalker is still sitting in my purse waiting for me to actually start playing.
So you must have had a lot of steps then if it's in
I
your
would
purse.
Have if there was actually a Pokemon.
Oh, you haven't registered it yet.
No, because I haven't. I didn't. Yeah. I was like, I played a half hour and then I put it down and had to go away to other stuff, and I haven't been back.
Yeah, unfortunately, Pokemon is hindering my ability to play other games.
Yeah.
But I do. I'm going back and forth as well between Final Fantasy 13. Like, I keep playing a bunch of it, then I like leave it alone for a week and a half, and then I come back and play a bunch of it, and then leave it alone
again.
You
need to start playing some shorter games.
Yeah, I know. I have like BioShock 2 still on my queue. I have it sitting on top of my Xbox.
This is probably
the longest I've gone without turning my Xbox on.
Wow.
And since I got it.
How long?
Because I've been just playing Final Fantasy. I don't even, like a month, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't turned my Xbox on in a month or so either because I was in that stupid trophy horror war.
Oh, yeah, the trophy horror war.
So I had to play PS3 constantly and then God of War came out, so I was playing that on PS3.
Did that burn you out at all? Because I know, like, Colin is completely burned out. He doesn't want to play his PS3 for a while. Like...
Well, God of War, I had to play God of War. There was no choice in the matter.
Yeah. Wait, so you're okay with hyper-realistic, or you're not okay with hyper-realistic shooters, but you're cool with him ripping
I'm totally with Nicole on that.
Really?
I will play God of War any day of the week, but I have no interest in
it's not so much the violence or the blood or anything.
Okay.
It's just, like, I don't like the military, so.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like I don't ever want to watch Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
It's like I wouldn't watch a war movie either.
See, I have a little stomach issues with the God of War.
Really?
Like,
oh,
when I saw the trailer, I was at, this is the most embarrassing thing ever. So we're at Sony, like, doing a meet and greet or whatever. This is when I first started. They played the trailer on IGN, and they had the part where he's, like, ripping off that guy's head slowly, and I just went, ah! And everybody turned around and looked at me, and I was like, oh.
See, that's exactly why I'm playing God of War. Because I zipped through that game. Well, I'm actually at the very end. I put it on hold because I just got busy with other stuff, but I'm like literally at the very end. But I whipped through that game so fast, and every time I saw something, I just was like, yeah! Oh my god! Did you see his eyeball just got ripped out of his head?
That's so, nice after a stressful day at work.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And honestly, that first opening scene, I'm worried that I'm going to accidentally give something away, but that first opening scene where it's the Titans versus, the gods.
Yeah.
Whoa, what an I literally out loud would say, like, oh, wow, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was so just awesome.
Epic, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. It was a way to start a game off.
Yeah, for sure. Megan, that's what you're playing right now.
I just finished it, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. I finished that. I finished Dragon Age Awakenings. I am slugging my way through the 11th chapter of Final Fantasy 13. We'll see how that goes.
Guys, that means you're at the part now where you can choose your party.
Yeah, now
right?
the game
now
finally allows you. Yeah, it's so rumor has it. I'm still struggling a little bit to figure out the fun part, but it's no longer a totally linear. Now I can run around a big giant field that looks a lot like the Comlands in Final Fantasy X. I can do some side missions. Now I can actually use a paradigm system completely. I can have whichever person I want as my party leader. Sometimes the game still holds your hand and kind of drags you around, but it's getting better.
I have to say the allure of JRPGs has just always been completely lost on me.
See, I used to really like them. But after 10.2, especially after 10.2 specifically, I really lost some massive amounts of interests. And then I just, it's one of those things where because I did enjoy Final Fantasy so much up to that point that every time I see and hear of Square announcing another Final Fantasy game, I get really excited. I was excited for this one. I've been holding on with bated breath, and then it came out and I've played it, and I'm not nearly as far along because I lost interest real fast.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how you can go from something like a Mass Effect 2 to a Final Fantasy 13 and not be like, meh.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, they kind of lost their audience. Square Enix is huge, and they seem to have lost a little bit of their focus in terms of, now they've got all these, spiffy graphics, and I mean, their graphics are jaw-dropping in this game.
Oh, it's a beautiful game.
That's kind of what I just do. I run through and go, ooh.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, the characters, if you've ever seen a Japanese morning drama, I mean, it's just ripped off of that. It's just such a bad script, and the voice actors do the best they can. They have nothing to work with, and the story's predictable. I mean, I could just go on and on. Yeah. But
the girl that does Lightning's voice also does Liara in Mass Effect, I have to say, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
At the Final Fantasy 13 event, I wanted to go up to him and be like, I love you as Liara.
Yeah.
I'm not too excited about this one. I'm going to play it anyway.
Yeah, voice actors, like Claudia Black does the voice of Morgan in Dragon Age. Oh, yeah, she does, I forget the name of the character on Uncharted.
Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe. And so she's amazing. So some voice actors just, they bring their A game to everything. And so it's pretty exciting when you get a big name in a game like that. And they're like, okay, cool. I didn't recognize, I think, is it Troy Baker who does Snow's voice? I really liked him in Persona 4, which is another JRPG. If you haven't played the Persona games, they're pretty jacked up, but they're actually a lot of fun as well. So,
oddly enough, he also is sporting Final Fantasy hair.
He
has real life Final Fantasy hair. It's really odd.
That's what Ryan Clements wishes his hair looked like.
Yes.
he's working on the cloud thing with the super spike and everything.
I think he actually uses more hair product than all of us combined. I know more than me.
More than me. It's interesting you bring that up, Christine, though, that you're running through and you're playing and you're like, ooh, it's really pretty. It's like, that's the only thing with this game that's even remotely wanting me to play. It's just to see the areas and the artwork. Yeah. Has nothing to do. I'm not compelled by the story at all. I could give a rat's behindy. I don't know if we're allowed to say what I was going to say about the characters. I mean, the only reason is because I'm kind of a graphics whore, and I want to see, oh, what beautiful artwork have you guys created?
I love that you hesitated about ass, but then whores.
Well, that's trophy whores was up for grabs.
I think both of those words show up on IGN, so we're
I think we're all right.
We're okay with that one.
And if not,
we're in trouble now.
So is that all you're playing, Jess? Are you playing something else?
No. Well, I've actually wrapped up like Mass Effect 2, God of War. I'm right on the edge. I mean, I literally could probably go home right now and just finish it. Yeah. I finished, what was the one? I didn't really like it that much, but everybody's like, oh, it's so amazing.
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Oh, I loved it.
I liked
it.
So unique and blah. And I just couldn't get into it.
Was it just like too slow paced or
no,
something?
No, actually, it was, I really just had a hard time with the way that it handled. Movements were stilted. I mean, I would be sitting there going like this, but you can't see what I'm doing right now, but it was very, you know, it's like one of the main movements for 90% of what you do, and it would just never register. And I know I was doing, I know I was doing it right. Maybe it works better once the wand comes out for the PS3, because it's just, you know, it's a little easier.
Actually,
it's like you're actually, motion tracking it.
Yeah.
I really wish they hadn't done the trigger movement. Point your head this way and then trigger.
Controls.
It was a cool idea. I thought certain parts of it worked really well. I'm really into horror genre, mystery, dark storyline kind of games. And so the atmosphere and all of that to me was really cool. And, just the whole adult, they didn't shy away from adult themes.
Yeah.
All of that I thought was really well done, but really at the end of the day, I just could not stand how it reacted with the controls.
Yeah.
And to the point where it made me hate the game. Not hate the game, but really, really greatly dislike the game.
Yeah.
And so that got finished, and there's a few others, Dragon Age I'd finished, but I haven't done any of the DLCs for Mass Effect, for the Kasumi character, or for Awakenings, and that's what I want to get to next.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What are you playing, Dana?
Nothing fun anymore, because here's the warning. Nothing epic, because you have a child and you never have time to play real games. So the last real game that I finished was Uncharted 2, and I'm stalled out somewhere.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
I know. No, I love that game. It's great. I'm doing headshots.
Parents has children, and he plays all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have time. So I've been doing a lot of portable gaming sorts of things. So WarioWare DIY was the last thing on my DS. Seeing if I can actually, so what I've always learned from games that have good editors in them is that I would make really, really bad games. So the nice thing about WarioWare is that it's at least a small enough scale that, you know, you're not stuck with like in Little Big Planet, where it's like, here's a big, blank, empty level, and put whatever you want in it. You're like, okay, I just have to come up with one motion and one stuff like that. So that's pretty cool.
Little Big Planet was weird because, for me, I was really excited about the fact that you could build your old levels, and then you'd go on YouTube, you'd see these people just do this amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And then I started going through the tutorial, and I'm like, oh, I can't handle this tutorial. Yeah. And I literally just stopped. Yeah. I didn't even make it.
No, it's way
tutorials too much.
I don't have the patience.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have the patience.
Yep. So
I don't have the time.
I don't have the skill. Too. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and admit it. I
will say I don't have any of those.
Level.
All of the above.
Yeah. So that and iPhone games. kind of my new little daily addiction is a game called Crank, which is with a Q, and it's just like a little quick trivia game. But it does location-based stuff, and it's kind of cool. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's what we're playing. So now we're going to move into a more serious aspect. Well, not really.
You sound like someone just died.
but we might actually get into a fight now on this one. Which is what you're all waiting for.
I'm taking my high heels off. Getting ready.
So, speaking of Mass Effect, we all know that the new DLC just came out. I actually haven't played Mass Effect 2, but my husband has, and I've watched him play a lot of it. And there was also an article that was posted on Kotaku yesterday by Tracy John, where she's talking to Casey Hudson, who is
Christine's boyfriend.
Christine loves him.
But you were out of the office when he came to visit.
But I did, you know, at GDC, I was able to go see the DLC.
Oh, cool.
And I met him there, but I was like, so jittery and like starstruck. I was like, the first time I went into the room, I saw him there and I just kept looking at him, and he kept looking at me because I was the only girl there.
Yeah. And because you were looking at him like this.
And because I was looking at him like probably very intensely.
Because you were stalking.
And then I couldn't say anything the first time I went in. And I was like, and we weren't able to see it then because we had to run to go see Fable. Then I came back later because I was like, I have to go see the DLC. I want to see what it's all about. Then I went and sat down on the couch and he was across from me and I was just so happy.
Did you tell him I heard you?
No, I said, why can't you talk to Kasumi? Like, oh, you can with
so
all
you
characters.
Have the crush on this guy, you tracked him down and you complained about his DLC.
I didn't actually the thing I did say, I just asked him because he hadn't shown that part yet. I'm like, can you actually talk to her, or is it just gonna be like Zaid where you know you just get lines of dialogue? He was like, it's like Zaid. And I went, oh.
By the way, I think you're hot.
By the way, please get divorced and marry me.
Awkward.
Not really. I would not marry him. He's a little short, actually. He's shorter than I thought he'd be. He's got the Cliffy B thing.
Oh, like, God, let's just stop over.
We'll go.
Sorry. All right. On to actual topic.
All right, yeah, so back on topic. So the Kotaku article, talking to Casey Hudson, the writer is a female, Tracy John, and she's basically bringing up the fact that Miranda has a super tight outfit and there are lots of shots of her behind and her chest and all that kind of things, and that she is not so cool with that. So what do we think about that?
Why are you looking at me? I know what I think about it.
Yeah.
I think...
Go for it.
Definitely has a right to her opinion. It's a very highbrow way of complaining about the same old tire subject of girl gamers being misrepresented. Yeah. Every person in that entire video game has a tight outfit on. Every single one. Yeah. It's not just Miranda. And the reason you get butt shots is because she's the one you're supposed to have sex with. Like, that's the way it goes. And I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I don't. It's a butt shot. Whatever.
Exactly. It's a butt shot. Who cares? I saw man butt in Heavy Rain. You know, how about all the? I mean, we work in this office with a bunch of dudes. How many of them you think walk around looking like a male shepherd? Not too many. Yeah. Like, they don't look.
I would say
none. Yeah, they don't look like that.
Yeah. And do you hear any of them really getting all like? Do you hear these arguments from their perspective? Like, very rarely. Every once in a while, you might get one or two, but overall, you hardly ever hear men complain about the way that they're represented in games physically. It's always, and that's the thing. It's never how a lot of these female arguments are not about how the females behave physically. Like, if you played a female shepherd, in my opinion, female shepherd, it pones, you know, male shepherd just completely with voiceover and just the way, just the whole thing's just much better with her. But... And she's still, you can play her as a complete hard ass. You can play her as like kind of sensitive. You can play her down like the middle and she's kind of both and just really intelligent. But you don't see any women like, yeah, you know, you just hear all the complaining about, well, Miranda's ass was in this scene. And you're like, come on, ladies, like pick and choose your battles here. Like, really, is this the wisest thing you're going to latch on to?
Well, here's what I would argue is that it's not this is not something that's unique to games. This goes anywhere.
Yeah. That's
different.
Right.
There's different standards for men. I mean, you know, look at every CBS sitcom with the schlubby husband and the
hot wife. Yeah.
You're like Jim Belushi and Courtney Thorne-Smith? Yeah. I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it, too, just comes from the fact that just culturally, as women, we, following the feminist movement and everything, it's just rammed into our heads more to pay attention to this type of thing, where we might not pay as much attention before.
Yeah, and we've got to be honest. I mean, this is... at least at the very beginning, I think it's obviously really changing and changing quickly. Yeah. A male-dominated industry, but I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, So it was male-dominated at the beginning. It's not really anymore. So As long as you are an intelligent woman that gets involved in the business and tries to make positive steps for yourself, I'm not even saying you have to sit there and hold, you know, burn your bras outside your office. Then. It should.
Oh, but the boys would so. Oh, they
We're going to have them lining up outside our office now.
Only if you didn't bring in granny. We should burn your granny panties outside the office. Like, don't bring any of the nice underwear. Because then if you bring the bad ones, then they don't care. Yeah. If you bring the good ones, then there's a problem.
Can I say something, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
No, this is a podcast. You're not allowed to say anything.
My bad. Can you hear me?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, is this thing on? I'm less disturbed by Miranda than I am. I don't know if anyone's played God of War. It's a very minor spoiler. Mm-hmm. But Kratos uses a topless woman basically as an object to hold a wheel in place. And she gets crushed by it. And there's a very disturbing trophy that you can win, which is, I didn't do it, but I wish I had. And a lot of our readers think that may be a rape joke.
See, I don't get that. I don't get that. I thought it was a joke about, because you hadn't reached the sex minigame at that point. And I thought that was a joke about, like, ha ha ha, we tricked you. You thought it was going to be the sex minigame now, but it's not. That's the way I took it.
I'm 99% sure that's not what they meant. Yeah. It was interesting because our readers actually picked up on it too. And some of them were pretty like, what does that mean? I'm more disturbed by that than Miranda butt shots. I mean,
another thing, I have not played God of War. However, Final Fantasy 13 also has some weird stuff with me that I thought was weird. Like, Vanille, young girl, teams up with Saz, older guy. And, like, there was this one point where she's climbing up something and he's kind of like, at for a second there, he's looking at her butt. And then he goes, he shakes it off. Young girl. Can't.
See, I actually would flip that back to being a Japanese culture
issue. Right, it is, definitely. Yeah. And I understand that. But that's something that I found a little bit more creepy than Miranda in a tight outfit.
What? Pervy older dudes? Pervy older young dudes, girls? Like, come on.
I get that it's a Japanese thing. It's a JRPG. Yeah. But still, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Generally, this type of stuff doesn't really bother me in games, as long as the character is not a twit. Basically, that's when I get annoyed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're playing, what was that one game? Leisure Suit Larry. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, like, that's something.
Well,
that's
if you're playing Leisure Suit Larry, you've got problems. Yeah.
I'm not. What? No. No, I've never played that. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, those are obvious examples, you know.
Right.
But or like Girls Next Door. Did they come out with a video game yet? I don't know. But you know, I wouldn't want to play it. That really is annoying to me. But yeah, like if you've got a wide variety of characters in your story and in your game that reflect a variety of different types of dispositions and how those people would behave. And it's kind of like even keel. I mean, so you have the one crazy woman that wears, you know, Coke bottles on her boobs. Like,
what do you think of DOA, though? Like, Dead or Alive?
I think that for me personally, that kind of falls underneath that whole Japanese mentality culture issue. Yeah. So I kind of just, and I'm not saying that this is right of me to do it, because, I mean, women in Japan are still like women in the US, but I just kind of dismiss it as being, I don't even notice it. I don't even pay attention to it. I actually pay more attention to the way that their hair moves than anything else.
Than any of the other jiggles, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, and I don't know if it's just because you expect it more out of or you're more forgiving because you're like, well, it's a culture thing. That makes it okay.
Yeah. I think of a culture thing than a bunch of like little hormonal like would-be frat boys if they lived in the States sitting in a room cooped up making games together. And they're like, I can't get real girls.
Boobs. I just don't know if you would be able to make sure
that they bounce really
from a
really well.
American or a Western developer perspective, get away with that at the way that the Japanese developers seem to. Because they are into they've got hentai, they've got that one rape game that just came out that everybody's talking about, and you know, you see people just picking it up on the stores. I mean, I myself, this is a bad reflection upon me, but maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but I'm gonna go for it anyway. Like, I went to Japan for TGS last year, and we were wandering around, and oh man, we came upon this shop that had was an adult themed store, and it had this, like, you know, those 25 cent little UFO machine things, right. And I got some UFO machine pop outs, and they were like women in bondage things, yeah. And I was just like, "Whoa, collector's items!" You're like, I didn't even think about it, you know. Yeah, I was like, "Oh," but you know, then I brought them to work and put them on my desk, and I thinking about it, and then looked at it one day and went, "Gosh, you know, that's totally inappropriate, and I'll probably get fired. So maybe I should put these away." But yeah, so I don't really know what my point was. I just kind of stopped thinking about it once I started talking about the bondage girls that I got out of the UFO machine.
Yeah, I think too. You know, at the end of the day, you know, as much as the female population of gamers is growing, when you look at the hardcore games like Mass Effect and God of War, the majority of people who play those games are still guys.
Right. The majority of people who make them are still guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Which isn't.
But you know, I don't think it's interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say that, you know, people bitch about that a lot. But I mean, I have to say, it's not like the game making population, you know, the gender breakdown is any different than any other tech industry. I mean, tech is just not an industry that most women tend to go into.
Yeah.
There are many women.
But I was going to say, I like the way that BioWare has actually kind of reached out to female gamers that might not normally pick up a game like this, mm-hmm. based off of the storytelling, specifically the relationships you can have with other people.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Megan and I obsessed about Alistair from Dragon Age. I played through that game twice just to get with him. Like, that was my only goal the second time around. I'm dead serious. And then even with Mass Effect, I remember for one, I didn't have any romancing because I completely screwed it up. And two, I somehow managed to miss it too. And I was really bad at it. And I went over to, you know, the BioWare guys at CES or DICE or something. You know, and I might have had some of the free, the open bar, but I remember saying to them at that point, I don't know what you guys are trying to do. I keep trying to get laid in Mass Effect, and it's not working. Why are you making it so hard? This is unacceptable. And
see, when I play, I have to shove people away from me.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I accidentally romanced someone, and I just was like kind of going through, like, what is this conversation option going to do? Oh, God! undo, and I quit and went back to a previous save because I was like, I do not want to touch that one. That was with Garrus, and I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to know how that's gonna play out.
Women, Garrus, we will reject you even in digital form.
Exactly.
Oh God.
I was holding out. I think you should give Garrus a chance.
Well, no. Because I, like, we wrote the, you know, being in love with a video game character or whatever, mm-hmm. for Valentine's Day. I am a hardcore Caden fan. Love Caden. I know some people think he's boring, or a lot of dudes hate him, but I love him. Like, to me, he's sort of like an Alistair. Alistair's a little bit funnier, but you know, I don't know. Like, he's a teddy bear. He's really sweet. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And so,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, something she wrote back to the Kotaku thing. She said that the game was not made for female gamers in mind, but I disagree because of Caden.
Yeah, well, I would disagree because of any of the relationships in there.
And the fact that you can even play as a girl is pretty awesome. I didn't realize that when I first popped the game in. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes! I love games where I can be girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I thought that was, like, a really great thing, too, until my husband popped in Mass Effect and started as a girl. And I was like, why are you playing as a girl? And he's like, you think I want to look at some guys behind
that's
the whole time?
I mean, Clements does that. Ryan Geddes also does that. Yeah. I find, you know, some guys really do,
like, they cross games.
I actually don't care either way. I find myself picking female characters now because the options are there, and I'm just like. But then this was interesting because we actually got into this on Beyond, not to pimp anybody else's podcast, but
sorry, you know, no other podcast can be mentioned here.
Yeah, we'll just bleep it out. Yeah. But we were talking about it, and Greg and I kind of got into it because he had said how he. I can't really totally remember. It's been a while, but it was like 4 days. But he said something like he he picked his characters based on the fact that he did not want to make a character like himself. He did not want to play himself.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I would pick the female only because I want to play as right. myself.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But
on
if
that
the
one.
Option's not there,
yeah.
I don't feel bad.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I can still
exactly.
play
like Kratos.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
happy being Kratos in God of War.
Yeah,
or,
I don't even think about
or
it.
Or being what's his face in Uncharted, Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake, because he's
yeah.
hot.
Yeah,
yeah.
He is.
Oh my gosh.
He's like
the
cross
I like
between Nathan
butt.
Fillion and from from
yeah.
Firefly. Nathan
and
Fillion and there's someone else that he reminds me of, and I can't remember who it is right now. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, from Buffy, and then Angel.
He's like. Oh my gosh. His
yeah, why am I
yeah.
Angel?
David Boreanaz.
Yeah, Boreanaz.
Yes.
Okay, he's like David Boreanaz and Nathan Fillion had
yes.
a child. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I think that's yeah. cool. You know, I mean, yeah. that these relationships
yes.
are, and because it, these relationships are not the main focus. I mean, I've made mm-hmm. them my main focus, but because they're not the main focus of
right.
what the game is supposed
yeah.
to be about, it's an interesting way of, dare I say it, tricking females right. into playing these games yeah. and being interested in. I think it totally works.
So when you make yeah. a female yeah. avatar, do you make it look like yourself?
I don't.
Sometimes.
I do. I always pick red
I
hair.
I always do. Yes, I do as well.
Well, I always pick red hair too, actually. I'm not,
cause you
not
be
a
me.
Redhead.
Oddly enough, this is going to freak you guys out. My shepherd has red hair. It's true.
She's got everybody wants red hair.
Watching
the really bright yeah. green eyes and then like the red hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see,
here's
my whole
little secret.
My whole red
anyone
hair...
can have red hair.
My whole red stylist. Hair, green eyes thing came mm-hmm. from, and this is going to be really embarrassing, but cute, Anna Green Gables.
Yeah.
I totally loved that book.
Yes.
And I got so obsessed with like the Disney movies and mm-hmm. Avenue of Avonlea and mm-hmm. all the offshoots that now it's like my, if I can't make an attractive, you know, pseudo Chobot mm-hmm. character mm-hmm. for whatever reason, or if it just doesn't turn out right, because sometimes, you know, it
yeah.
just doesn't look good. My default is always
that's good.
Red.
Yeah,
yeah,
red
that's kind of my default as well. I don't ever really, with the exception of my Xbox Live avatar, I've never tried to make a character look like myself. I just try to make it look really pretty.
Yeah,
I'm with Christine.
It.
That's what
yeah.
I do. I try to make her look really
well, I don't
pretty.
Make it, I mean, obviously, I don't give it my flaws. I just give it a couple
but
traits.
But I mean, I
that,
always
yeah.
like blue or
see.
Green eyes or something, you know, like. Okay.
But so there's a good question that kind of ties into what we're talking about is a lot of the times when you hear people, specifically females, complaining about the way that these women are perceived or displayed and how these are totally unrealistic goals. I mean, the same goals you hear about, like models, they're too skinny, they're too this, like
right.
nobody can attain those goals. And yet you guys go in there and you make, and me too, go in and make yeah. really attractive, beautiful characters. And yet the common complaint that we hear all the time in this industry from other females is, well, that's unrealistic. It's like, well, do you want your cake and eat it too? Which side of this bench
sometimes
are you going to sit on?
Make my characters as fat as possible, but that's never very fat. You
yeah.
know, like in the
right.
like in the
I
Sims
can't
say or
something. I've ever done that.
I do that. I totally. Well, like when I was doing EA Sports Active, I'm like, oh,
because
I'm like, I'm going to make it as. You know, I'm going to try and make it a reflector so then if I lose weight,
then
know,
it'll get smaller.
It'll get smaller.
Yeah.
Cool.
But you can't do proportions like in, you can't really do proportions like in Dragon Age. Like my character Yuna will always be like the same proportions neck
right,
down. I can only control her face. And I'm
yeah.
like, would women really make double D chest size and a tiny, tiny waist?
No,
if
but
they
the
have
dudes
the
totally would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would push a C. Yeah. But I don't know about pushing double D.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, really, I mean, if those options were there, would women really do them? I would
no,
say
probably not.
No.
I think part of it too is the difference between being able to make something yourself and having mm-hmm. somebody else force
it on
something
you,
upon you.
Quote
yeah.
unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it just seems like a very double-edged sword as far as, you know, like in Fable, if you use too much magic or whatever it was mm-hmm. called, you know, I haven't played it in a while, but you'd start getting those scars.
Right.
Actually, even in Mass Effect 2, you'll start getting scars
if
you play mm-hmm. Like as a renegade.
But you can.
But
get
that's
rid of
the
them.
Thing. And you can in Fable too. If you eat healthy, you suddenly get thinner. And if
but
I mean,
the,
it makes
the
sense.
More strength,
eat
but the more strength
freaking.
You
yeah,
get in
I was
Fable,
really bothered.
You're
yeah.
super
that
bulky.
Was the thing
you
that
look exactly
irritated
like a guy.
Irritated me the
yeah.
most was when you had the strength. So what I did was I just didn't build it up. And then, so I was like still really small and pretty. And then, you know, if I knew I was going into a big battle or something, then I would give, I had enough experience points where I would just build it back up for that battle, be like this hulking tank of a woman.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that was over, I would take them all back down so that she would go back to being thin and pretty and whatever.
Yeah, that was a huge oversight in that one in Fable, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hello, women don't look like that.
That's not true. There are bodybuilders, but that is frightening.
Yes. Well, actually, both male and female bodybuilders.
Yes. Any sort of bodybuilding scares me. Yeah, I didn't.
Well, a lot of the guys in our office went and did the whole Mass Effect 2.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say bodybuilding.
No. Yeah, not really. But but they did the whole like face cleanup thing with Mass Effect 2. It's just interesting that they're just as vain and that they're just looking for that same kind of fantasy idealized version of themselves if they made their own, you know, character, or if they're playing female.
Yeah.
You know, would they? Yes. I'm just going to end it there. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just interesting to me. It's like everybody wants to have their way, but at the same time doesn't want anybody else to have their way.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, even with this issue, there are some games where the females bother me or whatever, but I would never, ever, ever say, like, we should ban this game. This shouldn't be this way. It's because that's a slippery slope when you start doing that kind of stuff.
I might ban the rape game.
Yeah.
I might toss that one under the ban bus.
Well, I wouldn't, because, like I said, slippery slope. But second of all, like, I would much rather have somebody who has that inclination to go play a game about it than
go out
and do it
but
for real.
Wouldn't that but then see, would that exacerbate the problem? And when they, you know, would they feel those things more? And then would they want, you know, it's just kind of, you never really know.
If somebody's feeling that way at that point, I don't think that there's any, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's whatever.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be the way it's going to be. But
yeah.
And that's why I have a taser.
Yes.
In my purse.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't play it, but I...
Note to our listeners.
I'm not banning anything.
Note to people listening to this podcast. Yes. I will shoot you with a taser.
All right. Shall we move on to questions?
Sure. Bring it.
Yeah. So, yes, I've got the questions. We're just going to kind of wing this because...
So these are from you guys.
These are actually from the listeners, and we kind of had to do it impromptu through my personal Facebook page.
Since we haven't had any listeners yet because it's the first podcast.
Do we even have an email address we can send people to for questions yet?
They can send them to me. That's fine.
Okay, and, do you want to tell... What's your
email? My email is ign.girlfight@gmail.com. And if you're sending a question about this podcast, please be sure to put Girl Fight in the subject line so that you don't get shuffled in with all the rest of the junk that I get. Now.
Perfect. Okay, so.
Bring it.
We've got some easy, some not so easy. How many, one of these are easy. How many consoles have you had break on you, ladies? I've had one.
I've had one as well.
I had none.
360
zero.
Mine was the 360 at launch.
I know my 360.
My 360 is fine, but it did scare me because the hard drive, I guess I had taken it out and put it back on and it was a little bit ajar.
So I
got, I think, two red lights.
Yeah.
I freaked and started screaming and ran to my computer and looked at the error message and then realized it was just my hard drive and I was okay.
Megan, you have had any?
Does Final Fantasy VII crashing my computer count?
No.
Then no. I don't own an Xbox 360. I refuse to own one until they get rid of that problem with the three red lights. And I hear it gets better like every
time. I've had mine for 3 or 4 years.
I got mine in 2006. Yeah. When I got laid off. And I traded in all the games from our library.
I think I'd probably be pretty safe right now.
I don't know. Fix it, Microsoft, and we'll talk.
I think we had ours for 3 years before.
Don't knock on me.
Knock on wood right now. Everybody, because that's unnerving. Do you think the iPad will be a new standard in portable gaming?
No.
Nope.
I don't really understand that.
It's too big to be a real portable game device. Because, you know, your DS will fit in your purse, your PSP will fit in your purse, your iPhone will fit in your purse.
Yeah, but
iPad is not going to fit.
My friend had a good suggestion. She wants to make an iSatchel. So you have something for your iPad, you have a pocket for your iPhone, you have another tinier pocket for your iPod.
I think that's going to happen no matter what. Yeah, I mean, like, you carry around your laptop, you play games off your laptop. Why wouldn't you play your games off
I don't actually
your
do that.
Yeah,
but
I don't really
could
either.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I guess that's just me.
I don't think so. I mean, I think you're not going to get the prominence I think it won't get the saturation that the iPhone did, because like an iPhone has multiple purposes, and you get to the iPad and it's like a media consumption device. That's it. Yeah. Like this has, I don't know, this, I would, the iPhone, I'm holding up my iPhone. Yeah. So right. For those of you who can't see me doing it, which is all of you except for the people in this room, I would argue is now the first gaming system.
I mean, it's not going to
because my daughter, this a year and a half old, plays games on the iPhone.
Oh, on your iPhone, you mean?
Yeah.
You think that's, what did you just say? You think
it's the first gaming system now, because all you have to do is just be able to touch stuff and you don't have to have any coordination, you know, on really simple apps like Target at
Her. But wouldn't your child be able to play just like a Nintendo DS or something? No?
No, she has no coordination. She's a year and a half.
Oh, sorry. I missed that part. I'm like, what? She's like three, right? No. Why? Yeah. What do you mean she has no coordination? So, she can't bend her thumbs? I don't understand this. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, but she's been playing stuff on this since she was 8 months old. You know, it's like you're in a restaurant. And you're
Is she playing, or is she just looking at the fancy?
No, she'll like go on and lights. She'll. I mean, it's super simple. Like all you're doing is touching and interact. But she knows exactly when to do
really?
It.
Really?
She's like, she's like, oh, sweet.
Maybe you have a genius, a little prodigy.
Well, I think all small children and technology, it's crazy how fast they absorb that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. So moving on, when did you first get into gaming? Which console do you have most fond memories of? I got into gaming back in the Atari 2600 days when I was a little girl. And my favorite console of all time would be the Dreamcast.
I, as well, got into gaming very young, Atari 2600 days. Although, at that time, my family had what was called a Vectrex, if any of the hardcore people out there know what that is. It's actually awesome, and it's probably my favorite gaming console, as opposed to the pixel-based Atari 2600 Vectrex, hence the name, was vector-based, so everything was drawn with lines, and it was like this little contained, it was almost like an arcade machine that you sat on your table and played with.
Wow.
And
crazy.
They had little covers that went over the screens that made the game that's different from each other, and they had a light pen that you could draw with, and it was nuts. It's crazy, and I still have my Vectrex, and I love it.
You still have it?
I still have it.
You should bring it into the office and put it in the display case.
She wants to play it.
Are you playing it? You're playing it still?
I still play it occasionally, yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Nicole,
you're much more hardcore than I am.
I didn't come to start gaming till I was a grown-up.
What is grown-up age considered?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm like still 16, don't act
16?
It a lot.
No, I'm not asking what age you are.
I was 27.
Okay.
When I started at Computer Gaming World, which was a PC gaming magazine that no longer exists, but I started working there as like their magazine, like organizing. I was their managing editor, so I was their mom. And so then they started giving me games to play. And first three games they gave me were Bejeweled and Grim Fandango and The Sims. And that was those were my gateway drugs. And here you go, 9 years later, still working in the industry. I would say my DS, I really like. It's just like, it goes everywhere with me. There's lots of good variety of things on there. It's just, I like the DS.
I do enjoy a good DS game.
Yeah. And plane rides evaporate away.
Oh, man.
And I don't have to worry about my battery life like I do with the stupid iPhone.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
True.
Yep.
I started with the Super Nintendo. So I had my SNES, played dumb girl games because I only had a sister. So we would get
the Lion buy you
King.
The good games?
No, I mean, we got like Super Mario Brothers, but no, we wanted like the Disney branded games. You know, we wanted
Barbie
Lion King, which by the way, I loved.
Aladdin, that makes me feel really old.
A Little Mermaid.
I don't think there was a little. I've never had
a Little Mermaid game.
If there was, I did not have it. But you know, just you know,
well before I started gaming.
And then we had you know the Game Boys, and I had Pokemon. I had Red or whatever. My sister had Blue. We switched back and forth. And I mean, that was probably my favorite because I carried it everywhere. And I mean, I have to say DS as well, like Game Boy slash DS, because it's basically the same thing now that I have Heart Gold and Silver. but yeah, and then I kind of went out of it for a while and, you know, was focused on school and then got the internship at Microsoft PR. And it was like, oh, cool, games are still around.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went hardcore back into it and now I
have my 360 and PS3. Yeah, the same thing happened to me my teenage years. I didn't really play games that much
most girls quit playing.
Until I met my
husband.
I played
on the PC. Yeah. Like, I had Quest for Glory is still one of my favorite gaming franchises of all time. I really wish that they would bring it to goodoldgames.com. Plug, please do. but yeah, you know, I'd play those adventure games and stuff on my dad's PC, and he would yell at me for breaking his computer, which is not true, but he would always blame me on for stuff like that.
That's just because he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I know, he didn't know what he was doing, and we literally just like clicked on the thing and opened it and started playing, and then you'd quit it and come. He would be like, "Whoa, what'd you do?"
It's like my parents, every time we Skype with them, something's broken. It takes 5 minutes for them to figure out
what's
going on.
My dad just called me yesterday. He's like, "I've tried to restart the router like 10 times. I don't understand what's going on." I'm like, "Dad," and he's like, "I'm just gonna go buy a new one." I'm like, "No, wait, you just hold on, and I'll like tell you how to, you know, let's walk you through the process." I'm tired.
Is it on?
No, exactly.
What about you, Megan?
I also started on the Atari 2600. My eldest brother actually had it, and all I remember is being obsessed with Space Invaders.
Mm. Yeah, good choice.
Good game. My favorite system would probably be the Super Nintendo. It had all the JRPGs that I still love to this day, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VI, all that good stuff. So there
it is. I totally missed out. I didn't have any older brothers. My brothers were much younger than I was.
And I don't know why we got a Nintendo, to be honest.
I was the oldest, but they still always gave the systems to my brother.
We did not.
Even when I asked for them for myself at Christmas, she'd be like, "No, it's your brother who gets that."
Oh.
Yeah, and because it was his console, it stayed in his room. So when I would want to play, because he was the younger brother and he was a brat.
How much younger was he?
He was only like 3 years younger. Well, he still is only 3 years younger. But I mean,
now he's older.
All of a sudden he surpassed me, leveled up way faster than I did. You know, he would kind of like, "You can't come in my room." So I wouldn't be able to get a hold of it. So this whole part, the end of this whole story now, is that I would challenge him to a two-player game, usually like a Street Fighter or something, and I would lock him, that was usually our default, and I would lock him into a corner with Chun-Li, with like her hyper kick and all that jazz, and then he would have a fit, and he would throw the controller and start screaming, and then we would get in a fight, and then I could tell my mom it was his fault because he started it, and then she would ground him and let me stay in his room and play.
Nice.
I did that with my younger brother, too.
So where did he go when he was grounded?
He was usually sent to a corner, either in the kitchen where she could keep an eye on him, not to my room, because that would have been, my parents are smarter than that, but he usually was sent outside, or he was sent to, like, hang out with her in the corner of the kitchen or something, and told, like, smell the wall. Or whatever.
My parents are smart. They had a separate gaming room. So when my younger brother and I did get into fights, then they could send us to our separate rooms away from the gaming room. And then we wouldn't have to...
My parents are still anti-game to this day. So.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't ever have anything going on.
My parents are anti-game. Yeah. They just don't get into it. Like, we have a PS3 in our basement, like, and they use it basically for Blu-ray, but I got them a couple games. My dad plays, like, 5 minutes, and he's done.
Yeah.
They play. They have the Wii. They... Mm-hmm. My dad was, for a long time, just bowling by himself, which I was like, that's kind of sad, Dad. This is like a social kind of platform. Yeah. You know, friends over, but he's a PC gamer. You know, like, he wants strategy games. That's what he does. My mom hates gaming because that's kind of what everybody in the family does. So, like, we go off to our respective corners and games. And so she's like, where is everybody? Why aren't you paying attention to me?
My mom's starting to get into it with, like, really, like, your typical, like, Guitar Hero kind of stuff, like Rock Band, Beatles. My dad has kind of always dabbled in it a little bit, specifically with, like, war first-person shooters, mostly on PC. But now that we got the PS3, he had no idea that any of this was wireless. And my mom's like, well, how do you get a wireless connection? I'm like, what? She's like, well, where do you plug it in? I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom? Yeah. She's like, well, how is the internet going to get from that office all the way over here in the living room? And I'm like, it's magic. Just don't even question it. Just let me set it up. And so I showed my dad, you've got this option and this option. You know, let's hook you up with the wireless. Do you have any friends that have PS3s? Yes, I do, Jess. Okay, well, let's call them. You can have a buddy list. What? Like, I had to. Then I ended up spending my whole Christmas setting up his friends' wireless on their stuff, sending them invites.
Support.
Nice. Sending them friend invites. And to this day, I told my dad, I'm like, when I go home, I'll go ahead and send you a friend invite. Please accept it. And that way we can play, like,
right,
you know, some sort of shooter together. And it's still sitting in my outbox. My father refuses to accept my friend's request.
I think he just doesn't know where it is. Because to be honest, the cross media bar is not very user
friendly. No, it's not
user friendly at all.
I know.
And the funny thing was, another PS3 story, my parents called me the other day and they were like, oh, well, we were thinking about getting you this Blu-ray player for your birthday. And I was like, because we just got one. I was like, you have the PS3. Why do you need another Blu-ray player? They're like, oh, we need one from upstairs. Okay. And this Blu-ray player has the internet on it or something. And, like, you can download Netflix and stuff to that. And do you want Netflix? And I was like, you know, we'll get you this so you can have Netflix. I'm like, I can have that on either my PS3 or my 360. Yeah. Take my pick. Yeah. I just don't have Netflix. And they were like, what? You can do this? How is this working? Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
I will say my mother-in-law does love gaming and loves shooters. And likes playing.
That's right. You're saying she started getting into it.
Which is really, really great. So I keep saying, like, every year at Christmas, I'm like, maybe we should get your mom a system. We'll see.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. No, I know. He's just cheap. Their whole family is very cheap.
But you can get him for so much less now.
No, I know. Yeah. No, but you have no idea. The whole family, like, you know.
Yeah,
his parents, too, so.
All right, so that was a
long answer. But I love
you all. That was a long answer. Never mind. Thank God for editing. So next up, do you think 3D gaming will take off, or just is it just a big waste of time and money? I think probably right now, at the beginning, it's a bit of a waste of time and money. I really don't see anything that's gonna, you know, I just think there's gonna be a lot of problems up front.
No killer app.
But right. Yeah, but at the end, but I do think that it will take off eventually.
I think it'll take off if they can figure out the technology so that you don't have to wear glasses while you're doing
it. Well, they have, kind of. I mean, they have those prototypes that they were showing at
CES. Nintendo 3DS. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I forgot about that. They're coming out with it, actually. Yeah. It's available now. No, but they've been showing off a lot of, like, sort of decent 3D non-glasses required TVs over at CES this year, but they still, I mean, obviously there's still some major issues.
Right.
I can't imagine that they won't figure something out. It's such a big,
right.
There's such a big push. I wouldn't mind the glasses. If you could get custom made glasses, like 3D frames, I would much rather handle playing games 3D than going to the movies or an IMAX and having one of those, like, face huggers sitting on the brim of your nose and crushing your face. And, you know, somebody's telling you it's 3D, but it's not 3D. It's converted. And that's why I feel like throwing up when I watch this, you know, horrible Alice in Wonderland movie. But that's just me.
Did you watch Avatar?
I did see Avatar.
Well, I mean, how did you feel about that? Like,
well, see,
because for me, I thought it was still blurry on the sides.
It was still blurry on the sides.
And that pissed me off.
I thought there was...
you're fine.
I thought there was quite a lot of... When there was action sequences in the beginning of Avatar, now I was sitting off center, which was one part of the problem.
Right. Yeah, I was a little off center too.
And I was very close.
A lot of the seats in a theater are off center.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's an excuse. No, I'm just saying, like, that's kind of the situation I was stuck in. But that's a very valid point. Like, why do I have to always be like? So anyway,
there's only one middle seat.
So I was off center, and I was also, like, really close to the big screen. And I kind of had noticed for me that I had a really hard time with action sequences. But anytime that people moved really fast, it was, like, really shimmery and too much of a blur, and I couldn't focus, and I kind of felt that, like, slightly nauseous feeling. Mm. But then when they had, like, once I got used to it, it took me about 30 minutes to get used to it. And then specifically when there were big expansive shots where you could see depth of field, that's where I was like, whoa. But for the most part, I really didn't notice the 3D in Avatar so much as I noticed the CGI. Right. Like the teeth on the Navi were amazing.
The teeth.
No, dead serious.
No, I know, but
those were amazing teeth.
See, like, I don't understand why they didn't use that on the posters.
The teeth.
Amazing teeth. Jessica Chobot idea.
Yeah. I love the teeth. So what do you guys think? I mean, 3D gaming, yay, nay?
I don't know. Right now where it's at, I don't really want it because it does, I get a little dizzy. You know, I don't really like wearing the glasses all the time because I was looking at Resident Evil 5, I believe, on the PC. And it had, you know, 3D. And I was like, oh, man, I would not be able to sit here and play a game for an extended amount of time with these glasses on because it would just kill me. Yeah. It hurts my eyes. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. They'd have to develop the technology a little bit better.
It's going
to
be several years before really it would become any sort of industry standard.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, all of this. It's going to be an expensive investment.
Yeah, exactly.
For any well, you know, mm-hmm.
I mean, look how TVs long it took for HDTVs to penetrate.
It's kind of ridiculous how much money we're being not forced to spend, but, you know, I mean, $600 for a PS3, mm-hmm. you know, how, like, for now a 3D capable mm-hmm. HD, whatever TV, mm-hmm. we're up to what, like at least a grand minimum.
More than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and cable connections, all the stuff that you have to buy, HDMI cables, all of it. I wonder.
Go to Newegg, though, for HDMI cables.
No. For like not Newegg. I can't remember what it's called. I'll get the address. But Clements told me about it. Got an HDMI cable, $2.
Yeah.
What? Wow.
Yeah. You can, okay, there's
I'm
no
doing
way
it wrong.
To play. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
you
doing
should
it
never
wrong.
Buy it from any sort of mainstream
yeah,
store.
Yeah, do not go to the, do not go to Best Buy.
I was saying, I paid 10 for mine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Well, so anyway. How's our time limit? Are we?
Let's give us one more question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we launch into the big one that we were talking about earlier, which a lot of people ask us this question. So I'm just going to kind of sum it up. And it basically boils down to what's going on with Call of Duty and Infinity Ward? And that was pretty much the deal. Yeah. Like, what's going on there?
Let me get my super secret
spy scope. Well, obviously, we don't know exactly what's going on there. But having a husband who works as a developer, I kind of am leaning towards the developer side of the story against the big old mean Activision.
Yeah, right.
So I think most people are.
Yeah.
Underdogs.
Yeah.
Nobody roots for
the
big.
So you think that they're just going to keep pumping out these Call of Duties
Absolutely.
The way that they did?
Yeah. Guitar Hero.
Money.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, at the end of the day,
the
this is a business, folks. Yeah. And as passionate as you are about it, they are in it for the money.
Right.
Yeah. But then you have to wonder, like,
something
at what
which
point
Bobby
will
has never made any
stop?
Secrets.
You know, like, at what point is it going to go down? At what point will Guitar Hero games just stop selling? Like, and now they're already starting on the decline.
Guitar Hero games stop selling.
After they put out 5 games last year.
You know, cannibalizing themselves. But, you know, I think the same thing might end up happening for Call of Duty. And depending on where Jason and I can't remember the other guy's name. Oh. But the two guys, you know, the two heads end up somewhere else.
Is that wrong?
That might be right. I'm interested to see where they go next, because if that becomes the new, you know, Medal of Honor was something that they started, so you know, maybe they go back there and then make Medal of Honor just as big as Call of Duty now, and you know.
Yeah. You think with that turnover rate, though, they're going to be able to keep the quality up? I would have to say
for this Call of Duty
not.
Games, no.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't many companies or many franchises in any medium that continue the same quality. It's like, you know, most stuff.
They also took, you know, took
over
the
lifetime
whereas
of a
this
series.
Is like a year yearly schedule. We need a Call of Duty to make money. We need a Guitar Hero to make money. We need a XYZ.
A Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk
Ride 2.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
You can use the board again. Woohoo! I hate peripherals. God.
I know.
Just take up all the space in your living room, and they look stupid.
Especially that skateboard looks really, really stupid.
Yeah. Really dumb.
The problem with it, though, is when you're at those events, like an E3 or a TGS, and you get to get on the board, or you get to, like, do the Rock Band thing or the DJ Hero, it's so much fun there, and then you
go home and you feel stupid.
Well, no, I think you go home and you're still kind of stoked, and then you buy it, and then you feel stupid.
Yeah.
And then you realize, I live in an apartment in a really large city where there's little space.
Not much storage.
Where am I going to put this? I know. Yeah. It's under my bed, kind of sticking out. But then once in a while, I'll have that one party that everybody can come over.
That's when you borrow it from the office.
Yeah, honestly, that's the thing. We're lucky because we can just
Yeah, we are lucky.
Yes.
We are.
So Infinity Ward, everybody, I guess, kind of is leaning towards the developer side of it. I totally agree. And Call of Duty's.
Activision.
I think it's going to be.
You're the big guys.
Yeah.
We can't
I think Call of Duty's definitely going to get milked out big time.
Well, and it's the business people versus the creatives.
Yeah.
You got to root for the creatives.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, almost always. Mostly always.
Yeah.
Usually always.
Unless the creatives.
If I was a business person making that kind of money, I'd be like, screw the creatives. Yeah. But that's just me.
but I'm not. So sorry, everybody, but we all predict a decline for the Call of Duty
franchise.
Sorry.
You heard it here, you did hear it here.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening to our pilot episode. please give us feedback. Like I said earlier in the podcast, you can send emails to
IGNGirlFight@gmail.com.
Just make sure that you put GirlFight in the subject line. And we plan to be up on iTunes. Once we get there, please review us, because that helps us very, very
much.
But
only if they're positive reviews.
which I do. Why wouldn't they be?
Yes.
Exactly.
And stay tuned to IGN.com. We'll probably be starting some board posts asking for you guys' feedback on there. And I'm sure once we get up and running, we'll have Twitter and Facebook and all that great stuff too. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.